Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
What is it?
Nick Andre!
The giant! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what the hell?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth as we lead into Chamber Elimination. I am Peter Rosenberg, fresh off of his long cultural vacation to Wakanda. We have the physically large and strong stat guy, Greg, aka Uptown Malcolm. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing great. Wakanda is beautiful this time of year.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, you and I thought Tokyo had technology.
No, we didn't know. We had no idea. I guess that was the point, though, right?
There's a whole different level. Now, listen, SGG, outside the ring, I guess we're going to start with what we talked about last week. You and I didn't think it would happen, and we didn't think it should happen.
Right.
But it happened. And that would be, of course, Jeff Jarrett, the newest inductee in the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know what we add. From last week, which was a surprise that it was even considered. You have any thoughts? Anything new to the conversation this week from last week when we speculated it?
No, I have nothing to add. I don't get it. And I know people like to, this is the part of the conversation where people are gonna bring up people like Coco Beware or the Bushwhackers and say, oh, you defended them, but you can't defend Jeff Jarrett, who's like, as much as we say certain people had things handed to them throughout their career, like, this is the guy who that applies to for sure the most. He created a whole promotion to prop himself up. And now, granted, out of that promotion, we got AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode and guys that we really are enjoying right now on WWE television. But let's not forget that TNA was just a vehicle that him and his dad created for him. He had multiple world title runs. It was just crazy. It's crazy.
Don't forget, he was once the cyberspace champion.
How could I forget? But it's just ridiculous. Held every title in his father's promotion. But I think for me, the thing that strikes me as so odd about it is, like, even with all the accolades, none of it was really memorable in a good way. Like, some of it was infamous, like him laying down for Hogan and that whole year where he just assaulted women with his guitar. But it's not really, like, I don't have fond Jeff Jarrett memories.
Listen, I don't want to, like, say he didn't have a somewhat notable career. I just don't know if it was distinguished enough to warrant this.
And
especially, like, when you think about so much of it has been defined by TNA,
right?
It's so surprising. It makes the whole thing so surprising.
And that's the thing that I want to point out, too, is, like, so much of what people think makes him great is TNA-related and behind the scenes. But then WWE didn't mention TNA or Impact at all in his video package. If you just watch that video package, you'd think his career ended when he got fired on the last Nitro.
And
didn't
maybe
mention it at all.
Maybe part is like a rib. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I know they mentioned it for other guys, though. Like, sometimes they'll say TNA by name. Sometimes they'll allude to another promotion with Jeff Jarrett. Like, they didn't touch it at all.
It's
and maybe
weird,
they
man.
Will. I don't know.
Listen, it's weird. I'm trying to figure out. You want the best case scenario?
Let's hear it.
the best case scenario is it's somehow going to tie into an angle with him and Kurt Angle. That's the only thing that would be exciting for me. Well, Greg, please don't The man took his wife, for God's sake. Her name is Karen Angle, and she's with Jeff Jarrett. That is incredible from a storyline standpoint. You cannot that.
But...
I mean, I know it played out some in TNA, but to do it on the biggest scale would be amazing. Imagine Jason Jordan avenging his father's disrespect. Like, but obviously I don't foresee this happening. So for me, I am a little confused by it. You know, I'm not gonna, probably won't be able to get up on WWE television and be like, hey guys, I don't really get this one. But if we were to make a list of people who we thought should and would get in before Jeff Jarrett, it would be
it's a
who's who. It's a who's who. So anyways, Jeff Jarrett in. SGG also outside the ring this week. We're going to spend a lot of time outside the ring this week. Did you read, and I'm sorry, I'm sure you have things too, but did you read the article or listen to the podcast, Bruce Mitchell from, I hear him on Keller's podcast from time to time when I chime in there, or not chime in, when I jump in there, or he also does his own podcast and writes. Did you hear the conversation or read the conversation about the New Day's pancake situation and how it harkens back to old racist South tradition?
No.
Wow, you did not hear. This missed you altogether.
You scooped me. I had nothing about this.
This is I got to tell you, you were so. You were so Black Panthered out. You were so Wakanda deep that you missed this. Well, I'll fill you in. And on the podcast, you know, Bruce Mitchell, who's a smart guy, had a breakdown of this storyline. And talked about how the pancake bit ties into the story of, please pardon me using the word, the old Sambo story. And how the little kid, the little boy who that story is about, and if you're not familiar with that story, it's a very offensive Southern old racist tale of this boy and gets lost in the jungle or something. Anyways, a tie into pancakes that I had never heard of. Are you familiar with that, SGG?
Never heard of it.
Okay.
Never heard of it. And honestly, like, this is reminding me of the Ryan Coogler conversation that you had on Hot 97. Like, how much of this stuff are you going to take away from us? Like, we can't enjoy delicious chicken. And then watermelons already, we already lost the watermelon battle. And now we got to worry about pancakes too. So now we got breakfast. We got lunch and dinner. We got
dessert.
The fruits is out. Yeah, like.
Oh, so well.
Is red velvet cake next? Is red velvet cake next? What's.
Please don't come for Cake Man Raven's red velvet cake. All right, so he tells this whole thing about outside, and he gives a very compelling story about the WWE's very rough history with race and pro wrestling's rough history with race, and it's very interesting. And he ties it into how much they're focused on Black History Month this year, and he ties it all together and brings up some compelling points that all of us have discussed about the racial history in wrestling that if you are an educated wrestling fan, you're well aware of. You know, Hulk Hogan has been the guy who's recently got the brunt of it, but part of me feels that part of what Hogan gets, as bad as what he did was, is just our pent-up racial frustration with wrestling in general that has gone on for entirely too long, right in front of our faces. And so he brings up compelling points. However, the entire conversation is done under the premise of the New Day being given the pancake storyline by someone else who was presumably older, white, and aware of this trope, this racial idea around the pancakes.
Okay? Which is a lot of puzzle pieces that have to come together, but also...
Well, and there's also an offensive piece there, Greg, that you're also assuming that the New Day were handed this and were basically either unaware, didn't care, sort of implied, like, not willing to kind of put their foot down for what's important.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, too. Like, you think the New Day is doing anything that they don't want to do? You know what
well,
I mean?
That's, like, that it assumes that. It inherently assumes that the New Day story is one that they're not controlling or they were given the option and they didn't care. They were just like, oh, yeah, it's fine. So here's the biggest problem with that is the New Day are the creative masterminds behind this version of the New Day. And in fact,
yes,
the pancake storyline, the pancake, whatever, not a storyline, the pancake as a prop that they like to use was a complete and utter creation of the New Day. And not only that, they have no idea and have never heard of this connection to pancakes and old Southern racism. You know where I thought he was? I was so unfamiliar with it. I thought it was going to go to like Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, when you started to say that, I thought it was going to go Aunt Jemima too. Or like Mrs. Butterworth and all of that.
So I'm not trying to make Bruce Mitchell out to be a bad guy. He brought up a lot of interesting points that should be had. And he generally, I think, brings up interesting, smart conversations that should exist on radio. And even though Wade Keller has never acknowledged that I actually exist as a personality on television, I think his podcast in general does a good job bringing up issues like that. And that's why I check in. However,
sometimes you can get too deep with it, though.
Well, and Greg, this is a great example. You're now going so deep that you sort of offensively claimed the New Day were just worried about getting a check and they didn't mind participating in this tomfoolery, as opposed to assuming, well, the New Day are at a point where they've done so well and they've made so much money for the company, they're probably in charge of their creative, and this is probably what they want to do. Of course, we know that they're not picking every storyline and deciding whether they win matches or not. That's not necessarily what a wrestler does. But as far as creating these characters and that particular prop, that was all the New Day, and you didn't even give them credit for that. Like, you assumed that they were willing to just do it. Go ahead.
Do you know for a fact that that was all the New Day, or is that also speculation on our part? And this is a two-part question.
I know for a 100% confirmed fact that the New Day pancakes thing happened because I believe it was Woods who busted them out, right? I believe Woods was wearing a lumberjack shirt to the ring one day and thought it would just be funny to bring pancakes with him, like I guess like sort of a lumberjack breakfast, you know, like I that's I'm guessing, maybe I'm stupid, I probably am, but I know for a fact it was 100% just a thing they did on a whim, and then they liked it, and now it's become a thing they're having fun with. That's it. Now, that doesn't make the other things he talked about with regards to race interesting. But there's a basic premise that you sort of got wrong in a way that ended up, I think, being kind of offensive.
Yeah.
Even though I appreciate people looking to have the conversation, I do, but it was wrong in this case.
Yeah, well, the only thing I heard about the pancake situation is that they might be trying to do something similar to what they did with Bootios. And that they actually have a recipe that they're working on with, and this is not, I'm not kidding when I say this. They have a recipe for pancakes that they're working on with a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bootyworth.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so they might be doing a similar situation with the pancakes and the Bootios, which, hey, I'm all for it. You know, like, it's creative, it's different, it's merch. Let them have at it. But yeah, I'm not going to completely dismiss the whole racial thing, but I just don't know that it's in play here.
Well, and also I think there's a lot of inside jokes about the New Day and their entire everything. I think they are doing a lot of subliminal stuff that a lot of people might not get, and a lot of things that people may look at as a in a certain way. There's multiple layers to it. So, of course there's a history here worth thinking about, but in this case, I think it was just fell in the wrong place. Now, speaking of merchandise, Dipperstein suggested that because you are, as he refers to you as, the physically congested stat guy Greg, he believes that we should have Afrin nasal spray as the official sponsor of Cheap Heat. What are your thoughts?
I think Kleenex is a bigger brand, and I'm gonna hold out for Kleenex.
But I don't know if Kleenex, do they have a spray though? Because I think the nasal spray is what we need here. Now, are you
because that cures the whole situation. We don't want to cure it. We want to be like, I hate to say this, but you know how they say doctors don't cure your disease; they just keep you healthy enough to come back.
That's what we want to do here.
Yeah.
Are you generally a physically congested man, you'd say?
Yeah.
Do you have allergies?
It's a combination of all kinds of stuff that I don't think anybody cares to hear about. Allergies is part of it.
How dare you think that people don't care? How dare you?
This is a wrestling podcast. This is professional wrestling.
It's a very good point. So what else outside the ring? Talk to me.
So apparently Apollo Crews is now just Apollo.
That's right.
For anybody paying attention. And nobody really knows why. There's a theory that because the shooter in the Parkland in Florida incident has a similar last name, that they scrapped it just to get away from it. But that's been unconfirmed as of right now. Terry Crews also jumped in and said, like, he took claim to the whole Crews last name. So I don't know why he jumped in it, but.
Wait, what did he jump in and say? Like defending the Crews name?
Well, he said, well, when it was reported that they dropped the last name, he said, well, it's about time because they stole it from me anyway, or something to that effect. And it's just like, it's a last name. It's not, you don't have the monopoly on last names. You know what I mean? Like.
He's not giving him Crews.
Yeah, it wasn't there are other people with the last name Crews. So I don't know. But I feel like he made it about him from the beginning, though, when Apollo Crews, when his name was officially announced as Apollo Crews instead of Uha, Terry Crews had a comment then about.
He did?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I like it. Like, he was approving of it, and now that it's gone, he's like, yeah, I want my name back. It's like,
Is Terry Crews really into wrestling?
I don't know.
He seems to be certainly up on Crews info. All right, SGG, what else going on?
Outside the ring, that was all I had, really. Just the Jeff Jarrett and the Apollo Crews thing.
Well, then I guess we jump right in by saying, why don't they make the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view the Gauntlet pay-per-view?
Yo, Monday's match was incredible. I mean, after Monday, I could see a lot of people getting behind that idea, especially the performance that Seth Rollins turned in.
I want all of you to tune into the WWE Network this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern for the pre-show. What a beauty it's going to be. And I'm excited to see where this pay-per-view goes, but I'll tell you the truth. If they announced we're getting rid of the Elimination Chamber and we're doing two gauntlet matches as the main events, I would think it's better as a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I loved it as a match. And I loved what it did to Monday Night Raw. I loved that when it was done, there was only an hour. So like,
yep.
You had, yo, isn't it crazy though? Like, I can't even describe this, guys. And tell me if you had the same experiences. Rosenbergbeats at Gmail or at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. You guys know, I've told you, sometimes on Raw, I fast forward through matches. Like, if they don't have a lot of meeting, I just wait for a promo. This night, they did one match that lasted for 2 hours. And I was interested.
And you had to see it.
I was interested the entire time. Every time they went to commercial, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till they get back. Like, it was incredible to see the feeling of urgency you had for an episode of Raw was just so different. It was awesome, man. And then it made the final hour that much more urgent. So
yeah, they only had two other matches after that.
I don't know I don't know what you do to continue that, because obviously you can't do these all the time. But man, it was awesome.
I think what was special about it too was that they didn't get bogged down with like storylines and promos and all the talk. It was just like, it was match after match after match after match. I mean, Rollins was in there for over an hour by himself. Like, he turned out two amazing performances. Three if you count his match with Elias. And it was incredible.
So what else happened again? We said the girls had a match. The girls had the six woman tag.
Yes.
And what was
Titus O'Neil?
Ah, yes.
And Apollo Crews defeated the Bar. I feel like this is an again situation. I feel like they've defeated them before, or maybe they beat different members of the Bar in singles competition, but They won on Monday.
And then was there another promo as well?
I know they did promos throughout the Gauntlet match. I remember,
by the way, which was interesting too, by the way.
Yeah, I like that. That had like an old school feel to it.
It did.
It felt very throwback. And it was funny to me though too, and like Cena making excuses after he lost to Rollins. It's like, you know, I'm busy. I'm running around.
Yeah, I have saw a lot you to tweet do. About that.
Oh. Like, yo, this dude just wrestled for a half an hour. I don't care what you would do throughout the week. You were rested before you had to fight him. Like, no weakness, no excuses. Like, get out of here.
It was also an interesting approach, wasn't it? The main thing that I took away from his promo, though, from Cena's promo, was afterwards when he said, if I don't win this gauntlet match on Sunday, for the first time in 15 years, I won't have a path to WrestleMania.
Yeah, he's been saying that, and we don't believe that. We know you're going to have a WrestleMania match. We know you know you're going to have a WrestleMania match, but it's interesting that he's trying to plant those seeds of doubt. And even in his promo on Monday, I think that's what, like, he's been super Cena for so long that now him talking about, you know, my schedule is getting to me. I'm feeling sort of burnt out. I'm fighting, but I don't know if I can win. I just lost. It's him, like, sort of acknowledging that no matter what happens in the ring, he's a mortal man, which is crazy. It's a wild approach for them to take. But I like the risk associated with it. I think it's going to pay off if they do it right. If he just bounces back and it is Super Cena again, then it was all a waste. But
I think the whole setup, I think it makes for a perfect setup for Undertaker. That's all I can keep thinking is he loses this match and he's like, there it goes. What do I say? I don't have a path anymore. I for the first time, I don't have a path to WrestleMania. What am I going to do Monday? And I got to be honest, I really want it. I really want it. I want Undertaker to clean up what happened last year. It should have been Cena the whole time. Cena Undertaker is the more meaningful story. Roman served its purpose. Believe me, that promo that Roman came out and cut that next day was special.
And well, see, do you think Cena was the more meaningful match, though? I think they all were meaningful in their own way. I think Bray should have got a win over the Undertaker too. Definitely Bray instead of Brock. But they were all meaningful, I think. The Roman match just wasn't a good match, though.
Well, they're all meaningful because Undertaker's in them. The Roman match was not a good match, first of all. It would have been more meaningful if it was good. But the bottom line is this. Even though Roman is great and is on his way to having a amazing career, you don't 100% know how the Roman story ends. The Cena story's written. Cena and Undertaker should have a match. They were of the same era too. They crossed over for a full prime decade together. They had a really prime, you could say. They were both still prime. And by the way, of course, I mean later Undertaker prime, but his prime continued pretty late. From 05 to 2012, they had 7 years where they could have had an epic story and it never got told. So, you know, on your top 10 superstars, top 10 wrestlers of all time, maybe wrestlers, if you get into that conversation, people would not argue Cena. But let's just say top 10 WWE superstars of all time. You know for a fact Cena and Undertaker are there. And you know for a fact Undertaker's top 3 or 4. And you know Cena's in the top 5 or 6. I mean, there's some people I know would argue opposite, but guess what? They'd end up usually being on the losing end of that argument. Roman is great. And I know they would tell you, oh, Roman's already top 5, but he's not. He's not.
Nah, he's not. He's on his way though. He's definitely on his way.
But on his way, is it guaranteed? Cena's guaranteed. So that's why to me it's more meaningful. And I know most people like to ending with a loss is great, yada, yada, yada. Yo, Undertaker already put over enough people over the last few years. He did it. He lost. He made Brock look mage. He made Roman look mage. Him beating John Cena in a war and truly hanging it up, that's a beautiful ending. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Clean.
He did make Bray look booty, but it seems like everybody gets – Bray holds that L from everybody, so.
Well, I was going to say that the Undertaker, if that had been the only loss for Bray Wyatt that you thought was – if that was the most questionable loss for Bray Wyatt – there would be no issues about Bray Wyatt. the Undertaker loss. How about the random Randy Orton loss last year at WrestleMania? I mean.
Yeah.
There's plenty of Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt loses big matches. So anyways, I think that's where we're going. And also, Greg, just from a main event standpoint, by the way. John Cena versus Undertaker. How is anything else on the posters? How could you pretend anything else is the main event? Can you?
You can't. You can't, especially if they go down the road of because as much as the wrestling fans want to see AJ Nakamura, myself included. I mean, internationally they could go front and center with those two, but it's not going to be the big match for the casual fans here. And the same thing with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. They did that already. They just did that a few years ago. So this one that's never been done at WrestleMania before, with two of their icons too, like you said, they've danced around each other since Cena's been there. But at this point, they're both icons. You can't not, because, you know, there's wrestling fans who have been out of it. If you tell them the Undertaker's fighting John Cena, first of all, they're going to be, Undertaker's still wrestling? Yeah. And he's fighting John Cena? Yeah. Oh, I got to see that. The people who watch week to week might not want to see it, but that's not who they try to attract in April.
There are a bunch of articles when you type in Cena and Undertaker. Have they ever had any sort of match?
I don't believe they did.
There are a lot of people writing about the new kind of heelish John Cena. Did you think his promo was kind of heelish?
No, I didn't think it was heelish. I just thought it was a different John Cena. Like, and that's the issue with Cena though. Like, when he does anything different, they're like, oh, we're planting the seeds. Like, no, he was just salty. He was salty. And he's been salty before. This is not the first time Cena's lost and has been salty. This just looked different because he was salty and sad. Usually he's salty and like defiant. Oh, I'm going to come back and do what I have to do. And this time he's like, you know, I just didn't have it today. I was busy yesterday and flying out tomorrow. Work, work, work. It's like, all right. You know, we want us to feel bad for you. You're John Cena. We don't feel bad for you. 16-time champion. I don't think he was planting the seeds of a heel turn.
I'm just trying to – a lot of people seem to think this, and I'm just trying to get – maybe I missed what exactly was – I mean, it was a little weaselly to saying – like, I know it was a little – I know it's weaselish to say that he's kind of making excuses, but at the same time, is that – I don't know if I see this being heelish at all. I think it's sort of woe is me. Like, I just want to make it to WrestleMania. But I don't think it's because it's building towards him being bad in any way. You know, no one on earth would be more excited about that than me, but I just don't see it.
I don't see it. It's because Cena needs sympathy. That's all it is. Cena needs sympathy. And it's like, it's hard because it's John Cena. That's like if it's a dude that's a billionaire, and like, you know, he's a billionaire. He's like, damn, I dropped $100 in the street. He's like, whatever. You're still a billionaire. Like, you're still John Cena. Oh, you lost to Seth Rollins in this gauntlet match that didn't really mean anything but bragging rights. It's like, but you're still John Cena. I don't feel bad for you.
SGG, was there anything major from SmackDown you wanted to discuss, or do we get right into Elimination Chamber predictions?
Well, the only thing from SmackDown that I thought was kind of curious was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens' backstage conversation.
Yep.
Where Sami offered to lay down for him at Fastlane.
You thought that was a little peculiar, huh?
I did. I think Kevin Owens did as well. I don't know why.
I'm not ready for that to end. I'm not ready for their friendship to end.
But see, that's the thing. I don't know. If he's true to his word, then that doesn't necessarily mean the friendship ends. But I don't trust him that he would actually do that.
Well, no, me neither. That seems hard to believe, and especially the fact that KO is skeptical of it. Any sort of, when you have a storyline like this where you're waiting for it to implode because it has to, any sort of sign of not being on the same page is usually the beginning of the end.
Right. Yep.
So the second they even see that situation differently, you basically know where we're going. But I'm just not ready for it because I think there's so much more. There's so much more entertaining stuff for them to do, but yeah, you know, that's just me. What about from the women's tag match on Monday? I think the Mickey and Alexa thing has sort of been slightly confusing and cool.
Why? How so?
Like, I just think it hasn't been totally straightforward. Like, in terms of how it plays out. Like, yes, Alexa wants to have someone to have her back as they break off into pairs. But is that going to be 100% just to turn it on her and screw her and win the match?
Yeah. Somebody has to win, and Mickey's not laying down for her. I could see a final three situation where Mickey and Alexa are on the same page, and then they beat somebody down to the brink of defeat. And then rather than go one-on-one with Mickey James, Alexa just pulls a fast one and gets her out of there and is left with a weakened opponent.
Well, so let's start there then with the women's elimination chamber. What's your expectation? Alexa keeps it?
Yeah, Alexa goes on to WrestleMania to face Asuka or Asuka and Nia Jax, depending on how that match goes. But I expect it to be just Asuka. But yeah, I don't see who else to win that match. Like maybe Sasha Banks or Bayley, so that they throw a title into whatever situation they got going on. But they've been teasing that implosion for so long that I think they can.
Even though this week they were literally acting like there was zero friction.
Well, yeah, but they're gonna go back and forth though. I don't see a real nail in the coffin until they raise the stakes. But they've been teasing that and moving that back and forth for so long that they can probably move past WrestleMania without the two of them actually having this blow off feud. Or they do it at WrestleMania without the title, but I think Alexa is the champion that you want on Raw going into WrestleMania.
I'm going to go Alexa Bliss also. I certainly don't see it being time for one of the two new girls. You certainly can't see it being Mickie James, because push comes to shove, she's going to get screwed by Alexa. And Sasha and Bayley, I think, are going to be concerned with each other and not the title. So I think it has to be Alexa Bliss. I'm very interested to see like the Nia Jax thing. Like, I assume the setup here was just to make you think this is a viable match that you could actually see Asuka losing, and she doesn't lose. That's what I believe. I think Asuka wins again.
Yeah, same. I think Asuka wins again, and I think that's exactly how they have to play it, because I said this time and time again, the entire division looks strong when Asuka wins a competitive match. Nobody wins when Asuka just runs through people, because then it's like, what's the point? Nobody can beat her. Nobody can even come close. Why do we have a bunch of other girls on the roster? Why do we have Asuka on the roster? Retire her, put her in the Hall of Fame, and just wrap it up. But yeah, I think Asuka wins in a competitive match, because it has to be competitive.
Yeah, and I think you need a moment there before we get to WrestleMania with a main roster match besides the Royal Rumble, where you see Asuka in a situation of some peril that she ends up on top of.
Right. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy was added to the card late.
Oh, nice.
Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
I'm going to go Bray Wyatt here.
Oh, really? Well, in light of the conversation that we just had right before we jumped into... Yes, I'm going to go Woken Matt.
Not falling for it. You are just betting with the odds and saying that, as per usual, Bray Wyatt unexpectedly and unreasonably loses.
Yep. I mean, I love Bray. We all want to see Bray win, but we have never gotten what we wanted out of that.
So to take us, Greg, your thoughts on the chamber elimination for the men's?
I'm interested to see how they do it with seven men. I really don't know. And with the women's elimination chambers still only having six women, you have to presume that they're not going to make an extra pod or, you know, modify the men's chamber to accommodate that extra man. So I'm interested to see, do they start with three guys? Do they cram Rollins and Balor into one pod and let them out at the same time? Do they make them share a pod and let them out at different times? I really don't know. And I know the odds have Roman winning, and you guys know that Roman is my guy. But
big facts.
My prediction, my official prediction on the record is Finn Balor to win the Elimination Chamber and go on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Finn Balor to win the chamber, this coming on the heels of a very strong Royal Rumble performance.
Yep.
And Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar. Where does Roman Reigns end up then?
Rollins needs a match. Roman needs a match. Maybe they have a match together. I don't see them getting thrown. Yeah, against each other. I don't see them getting thrown into a tag match to go after the bar.
No.
Maybe that's the move too, though. I don't know. But I think Finn goes after Brock Lesnar.
Wow. I got to tell you, I find that to be a very interesting take. You could always find, because then Roman will need to, Braun will need a place too.
Yeah. Yeah, that does throw things in a lot of,
It throws things into total chaos. Chaos, SGG.
It does. But that's exactly what we want going into WrestleMania, because for too long, the card gets leaked around November. People start talking about rumored matches, and then the end result ends up being super predictable as far as what we get on paper. The storylines take us there in an interesting way, but what we get on paper ends up being super predictable. And because Roman Reigns has been penciled in for like a year, I think this is the year they should shake stuff up and throw it into chaos and keep us on our toes as fans. We know too much. Throw it to Finn.
All right, I'm going to go very traditional and go Braun Strowman. This is a guy who doesn't lose ever. And on top of that, he's meant to be in big, dangerous places where he can crush and destroy things. Crush, kill, destroy. And this sets him on a path to Brock Lesnar, and I think he will go on to WrestleMania and beat Brock Lesnar and become the champion. I don't need him to be champion. I've told you that. I don't think I need Braun Strowman as champion. I think what I need from Braun Strowman is kind of what we started to get from him last week with the cello or whatever he had.
Okay. Yeah.
And what we've seen with him with Alexa Bliss. I think in the mixed match challenge, I think getting more of Braun Strowman, the person, is what I want. I don't need him to destroy everyone and then destroy the chamber and then tip over the T-Mobile arena and then go to the MGM Grand and then go to the MGM Grand and pick up a slot machine and, throw it through the fountain at the Bellagio. I don't need all that. I want to see more of who he is. I actually think there's a little bit, he has more capability than we realized. But I do think he will win, and I think he will go on to WrestleMania. And I'm assuming you're going to go with the Bar over Titus and Apollo. I know you're not rooting for the Bar, but I assume you're.
Is that a kickoff show match? Has that been announced?
I think that was added to the card. Period.
I'm gonna go Titus Worldwide. We need one. We need more titles in Titus Worldwide. I don't know what happened to Tozawa, why he's out, but I'll take Titus Worldwide. Needs some championships.
Well, and maybe the powers that be will sense what it is that's happening with Wakanda. And yep. Feel this is the time.
They have no problem doing like a social media announcement saying, hey, this is on the card. Like, just last week, Kurt Angle announced that Seven Men was going to be in the chamber off air after Raw, and they tweeted it out. So it could still it could still be a match that we get.
All right. A new feature I want to do on the show. It's called Reading What Random Internet Writers Are Saying. And by the way, not to be offensive, Kevin Wong's not random, right? He's written a lot of stuff.
Random to me, but no, you already started it with no offense.
No disrespect, so. Of course. Yeah. Three bold predictions. This is on Bleacher Report. Three bold predictions for WWE Elimination Chamber. Roman Reigns is winning the Men's Elimination Chamber match this coming Sunday, blah, blah, blah.
That is not a bold prediction.
He says it's been set in stone since last year. Since then, blah, 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 blah. Aside from that. All right, here are the three bold predictions.
Okay.
We'll see the debut of the Broken Universe. The Woken Matt Hardy character is dying a slow, painful death. Blah, 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 blah. Elimination Chamber will change that. It'll be the first time we see extended members of the Broken Universe, such as King Max or Queen Rebecca or Senior Benjamin. We might even see Brother Nero. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know. Alexa Bliss will lose the Raw Women's Championship.
That is a bold prediction.
Here's why. Because Asuka is going to beat Nia Jax, which leaves the Irresistible Force out of the title match at WrestleMania. Narratively speaking, the best opponent for Jax would be Bliss. That's, of course, true. My problem with that is, I just don't know if there's room for the matches. But anyways, Asuka won't challenge for the Raw Women's Championship is the third thing. After she beats Jax at Elimination Chamber, Renee Young will do an in-ring interview. That's when she'll announce her intention to fight Charlotte. You heard it here first. That's according to Kevin Wong of Bleacher Report. Okay, so if, let's say Kevin Wong from Bleacher Report is right, and Asuka announces a match with Charlotte, Alexa loses and has a feud with Nia Jax, and then another woman wins the Raw Women's title and has a title match also, that is three women's matches before we get to Ronda Rousey. And is there anyone else we're leaving out? I guess that's still the number we had. That's the same number we had last week.
Yeah, and they have room for it. Like, let's be honest. They really do. Three matches with good time. They got time for it.
But it's a great point because Nia, I just can't see Nia beating Asuka this week. It would be so insane to end the streak. So, and the best story told for Alexa is with Nia Jax, honestly. I mean, her just losing to Asuka at WrestleMania when everyone's expecting it. Asuka beating Alexa doesn't do that much because the way they're set up as wrestlers, you would only think Asuka would beat Alexa. Alexa hasn't wrestled enough for you to remember that she can beat people in wrestling matches.
This is true.
So the problem is, as a result of how little you see her, it's hard to picture a time in which she would ever beat someone like Asuka. So you're best suited letting her have a match with Nia Jax. Good job, Kevin Wong from Bleacher Report. Tremendous. SGG, will you be tuned in at 7 o'clock to watch the kickoff show? Cause you're going to see a new Peter Rosenberg this Sunday.
Of course. Before we get to that though, there's one more thing we're forgetting. It's February, P. You know what that means?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, I'm not going to let us go. I'm not going to let us go. We have to do something right now. Hold on. I was setting you up, SGG. As a matter of fact, let me set it up real proper like. Okay? Because one thing I will not do is have you or anyone else disrespect the February edition of a little thing on this show that we call the Black Power Ranking. All right, SGG, I apologize for even waiting this long, but I wanted to tease the people. What do you have this week in the Black Power Rankings?
So, honorable mention goes to King T'Challa and the people of Wakanda, of course.
Okay. Well, you know what, Greg? I respect your professionalism. I was worried they'd be number
mention.
One.
Honorable mention to Keith.
Even though if you haven't seen Black Panther, there are some scenes that are wrestling match adjacent.
Yeah, pretty good matches too, by the way.
Oh yeah, really solid matches.
Like real good.
The T'Challa versus M'Baku? What?
Yeah. So yeah, go see it just for the wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan, you haven't been interested. Another honorable mention goes to Roman Reigns, who for a tweet that he posted 2 days ago now, he's been featured very prominently in the Black History Month video packages that WWE has been producing. And someone on Twitter made a comment. It's since been deleted, but the comment essentially was, I know Samoans are basically black, but why is Roman Reigns all up in the video packages? Don't they have a black superstar that they could use for this? Roman caught wind of this, and the big dog had to bark. And he replied, no, a Samoan is basically a Samoan, and we are extremely proud of our culture. But if you did any research at all, you'd understand that my wife is an incredibly strong black woman, and I'm always ready to celebrate and show respect to her and her bloodline. Thank you.
Well,
thank you for paying respect, big dog.
Honorable mention. Now, Greg, but how do you feel? Because Joe the Samoan, Roman Reigns, usually ends up, Juanito likes to use him on the Brown Power rankings. People are idiots. First of all, wait, they should only use black people to celebrate black history? Don't you want to also see?
Right. That's ridiculous.
Yo, isn't like Alexa Bliss in the video too?
She is.
Like, don't you want, honestly, it's actually, if you're being totally honest, it's very important black people celebrate black history. It's frankly probably more important that non-black people celebrate black history.
Yeah,
so.
Which is, you made a similar point about Black Panther, on Hot 97. And it's factual. It's 100% true.
You're like, oh, look, it's Black History Month. So look, all the black people are going to check out Black History. My only complaint is I wish they showed them going to more different museums. That's a nitpicky complaint. I'll say this. You can question where it comes from and if it's for PR. You can do whatever you want. People are going to question what they want to question. And like I've said before, with the history of pro wrestling, I certainly would understand why. But I'll say I've enjoyed the effort being put towards Black History Month this year. I think it's been cool.
Yeah, I have too. I think they went a little extra mile with it. And like you said, I appreciate it.
And by the way, when change happens someplace, like when change happens in a place that hasn't always been a certain way, if it's gonna be a good change, it's at a certain point and for a while, it may feel very overt. Okay? Like there may not feel like there's a ton of nuance. It may feel like, look, we're making a change. But that's how it has to be if you want change, or you can just have things be the same. But people are always going to find a way to complain. Sorry. Okay. So number three, was that honorable mention also?
No, we have a historical selection.
Hold on. Was Roman Reigns also an honorable mention?
Yes, he was also an honorable mention.
This is unbelievable. We're about 5 minutes in. We're two honorable mentions, and now there's a historical wing.
Yes. And this is going to WWE Hall of Famer Charles Wright, because he played a lot of my favorite characters, though, honestly, from The Godfather to Papa Shango, which is like an all-time favorite of mine, and a character that was ahead of its time, Kama the Extreme Fighting Machine. He was a founding member of the Nation of Domination. He's enshrined in the Hall of Fame, but he sort of floats under the radar as a guy that not a lot of people think about. But he was there throughout our favorite eras and some of our favorite characters. And so I'm going to give him the historical mention for this week. And now in at number three.
Shout out to Charles Wright.
Shout out to Charles Wright for sure. Now in at number three, Cedric Alexander, who
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't been getting enough recognition on these rankings, so I'm going to make that right this week. He's doing great work on 205 Live. He advanced to the next round of the Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. He could end up with the WrestleMania match, depending on how this turns out. But just for the work that he's been putting in on 205 Live and consistently having exciting matches, he's coming in at number three. And in at number two, Titus Worldwide. They beat the Raw Tag Team Champions. They're on a roll. The momentum is building. They have all the tools to walk away eventually as tag team champions. But until that time, they're gonna get their recognition right here on the Black Power Rankings. And in at number one, the New Day. They had a highly competitive match against Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable on SmackDown. Earned the right to face the Usos again. And say what you want about New Day versus Usos again, they turned out some of the best matches of last year, and this sets up an opportunity for them to turn out some of the best matches of this year. So I'm here for it. New Day in at number one on this week's Black Power Rankings.
But the pancakes! All right, that'll do it for the Black Power Rankings, SGG. Don't worry, SGG. Hold on, what's the date today? Oh, no, is this the last one?
It could be the last one. We might be able to get in one more on the 28th.
Ooh,
but
we got to do next Wednesday then. We got to get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's the risk you take on when the short month. Like if we have so March, wrong. We might so, have,
see?
You know.
Look, Greg, we should work to change it to March, bro.
We should.
It'll be an uphill battle, but we can do it. Also, I've been going back and watching old Elimination Chambers to get ready for this Sunday. And man, I watched the one from 2013. What a difference 5 years makes. It's so crazy.
Which one was that? Who was in that one?
Well, first of all, let me just be clear. John Cena is always in Elimination Chamber. All right. Just,
so he's one of the people in that one.
He's been in it 1,000 times. But, that one, 2013, has Mark Henry coming in and destroying a few people before getting eliminated by Randy. And then on his way out, basically destroying everyone. Because Mark Henry was in Hall of Pain beast mode. Then you have CM Punk versus The Rock, I believe, was on that one.
The rematch.
Yeah, The Rock is champion. You have Big E running around with AJ and Dolph Ziggler.
That was such a random pairing. That it worked, but it was very random.
It's just so crazy to see how big a difference 5 years makes if you go back and revisit. SGG, do me a favor this week and stay mage, all right?
Oh, yeah.